Welcome to Take Aim. My name is Denny Wilson, and I'm the preacher for the Parkview Church of Christ. We're glad that you're here this evening. Take out your Bible, notebook, and pencil, and let's study the Bible together.
If you have your bulletins, if you'll notice on the front page, there is an outline of the lesson today, and there are a few blanks for you to fill in. We have 4 points today. They all start with the letter S, and each one of them has a few subpoints. But as we begin, we're going to go to Mark chapter 4 as we continue our study of this beautiful chapter, this beautiful book, and look at the lessons that God has laid out for us. Now, we're going to have a very long section of reading. We're going to go through verse 9 and then skip down verse 13 through 20. And we'll come back to this subject again next week, Lord willing. But we're not going to read Luke's account or Matthew's account of this. I encourage you to do that on your own. Because these are very important lessons, Luke chapter 8, Matthew chapter 13. But if we read all three accounts, that's going to make our lesson a little bit too long this morning. So we're going to just read from Mark, since that is our text. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And again he began to teach by the sea. By the way, that's a very important point, because he's now left the house where he's been doing the preaching and teaching and healing and all the issues that have come about. He's now leaving that spot, and he's again coming to the sea, which was kind of his base there for a while. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, "Listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on the stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now let's skip down to verse 13. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" Remember, he had just said that he would teach them many things in parables. How do you not understand a parable? If you don't understand a parable, you're not going to understand all the things that I'm teaching you. That's the idea. Verse 14, "The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayward where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of richness, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100." We're going to have 4 points. We're going to start with the sower. The sower is the one who plants the seed. He is the proclaimer of truth. He is the preacher or teacher of the gospel. It ought to be us. We are the ones who are to be sowers. We're supposed to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. Jesus said that he came to seek and save that which is lost, Luke 19 and verse 10. We are servants, we are soldiers in his army, and we should follow the same message, the same pattern that our commander-in-chief has set forth. We need to seek the lost. So in doing so, we notice that we should sow seed in all places. Everywhere. Mark 16, 15 and 16 says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." How many people in the world are left out of all the world? How many people are left out of every creature? I know it's a rhetorical question. The answer is none. Who are we talking to? Our friends, our neighbors, our family, our co-workers? Are we sowing the seed of the kingdom in all places? If you remember in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, as the first century church was being persecuted, they had to flee. But everywhere they went preaching the word. Are we sowing the seed in all places? Secondly, are we sowing the seed at all times? At all times. When is a bad time to talk about the gospel? You know, sometimes I hear people say, you know, there's somebody I want to talk about, but I just haven't had the right time. Or it just hasn't been the right time. Or we were talking about so-and-so and it just wasn't the right time. Really, the football game was the right time, but it's okay for football, but it's not okay for spiritual things. Listen, it's always the right time to talk about spiritual things. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, as Paul told Timothy to preach the word, he told him to be ready in season and out of season. You know what that means? Be ready all the time. All the time. 1 Peter 3:15. Anytime we're asked, we need to be willing to give a reason for the hope that lies within us with meekness and fear. Are we ready at all times? Third, we need to sow the seed sincerely. You need to really love God and love the word and love the souls of men. And you need to do it compassionately. You need to care about people. Do you really love them? I mean, do you really love them? Because if you really love them, it's not about the physical things of this earth. It's about their eternal destination. Will they go to heaven? If you really care about people, you will tell them the truth. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6 says this, those who sow in tears will reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Sometimes we sing the song that came from this psalm, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. Before you bring in the sheaves, did you notice what the psalmist said you had to do? You had to sow. You had to sow weeping. You had to sow with compassion. Proverbs 11 and verse 30 says, he who wins souls is wise. Are you wise? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. If you're not wise, are you a fool? Nobody raise your hand. The fact of the matter is, you're one or the other. He who wins souls is wise. Don't you want to be wise? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom of God? 1 Thessalonians 2 verses 1 through 12. Paul talks there. We're not going to read all that this morning, but I want you to notice a few things. He said that he had been bold in God to speak the gospel with them in much conflict. Even though it was difficult, even though there was obstacles, even though it cost him personally, he was bold to preach the gospel. It's always the right time. He had suffered even though he had been entrusted with the gospel. You know what? We're all entrusted with the gospel as well. We have a job to do. We are earthen vessels that carry this treasure to the lost and dying world. And he said, so we should speak not as pleasing men, but God. Are we pleasing God by our speech? He would go on to say that he was pleased to impart to them the gospel of God. It's God's message. It's not our message. Sometimes we're afraid to say something because we're afraid of what people might think about us. What do they think about God? Will you defend him? We also sing a song about that we will maintain the honor and we will defend his cause. Do we? Are we set for a defense of the gospel? He and those who traveled with him were workers and they proclaimed the gospel even though they faced hardship. And he tells us why as he begins to wrap up that passage. He says, because he loved the souls of men. Do you love people? You see, if we're sincere and we're compassionate, we're going to sow the seed all the time and in all places. Notice next, the second main section there is about the seed. The seed. The seed is the word of God. In our context, we see that, but also Luke 8:11. You remember Luke 8:11? It tells you point blank, the seed is the word of God. Now in verse 14 of chapter 4 of Mark, the way he puts it is this. I turned over too many pages there accidentally. Here we go. He says, the sower sows the word. That's plain. That's plain. Today, what do most people think that preaching is supposed to be? Some story that makes people feel good. What did two gospel writers say you're supposed to preach? The word. The word. What did Paul tell Timothy he was supposed to preach? The word. And yet, so often, what do people want to hear when it comes to worship or church services? Well, you know, I just feel like, or I think, or, you know, there's this cute story I want to tell you. No, preach the word. Preach the word. That's what we must do. In fact, there's an analogy here that's laid out, and it's very easy to see. I know you see it. But notice that both the word and a seed produce life. In Philippians 2 and verse 16, Paul calls it, in fact, the word of life. It's the word of life. You remember the disciples, when Jesus asked them, "Will you also leave?" John 6:68. They said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life." The word has life. Psalm 119 verse 50, the psalmist said the same thing. He said, "Your word has given me life." Life is in the seed. Life comes from God. And that seed, the word of God, can give me life. They both also produce after their own kind. If you go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11, when the trees and the plants were said to be created by God, they would have seed and it would produce after its own kind. Even of man and animals, when you get to day 6, we produce after our own kind. By the way, that's one of the proofs that shows evolution is false. Because a dog is always a dog is always a dog. It may change a little. You can develop the breed. You can make them bigger and smaller and change their color. But they're always a dog. We produce after our own kind. Well, folks, the word of God does that too. It produces after its own kind. If you plant the seed, which is the word of God, it will produce Christians. If you preach the word of God and those who hear it and believe it and are baptized into Christ are added to the church, it will produce life. It will produce after its own kind. The church produces the church, and that's what we need to do. Next, they both produce results. They both produce results. In Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, the prophet said this, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." We understand this. When it rains, it nourishes the ground. It makes the trees and the plants grow. It provides water for the animals. It does its job. When the snow melts and it runs down the mountains and the rivers and the streams, it takes care of the land. We're seeing the opposite end of that spectrum right now. We're seeing a change in the weather, the change in the color. If you were up north, it's already in multiple different colors. We're still down here where it's going to be in the mid-90s this week. So we still have some green and brown because people didn't water toward the end of the summer here. But the fact of the matter is, we understand the physical. You should understand the spiritual as well. He says his word, when God speaks it, is going to go out and do what he said it would do. Now, creation is called fiat creation because God spoke and it was. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God's word will do exactly what he said it would do. Today, he says, "Go preach the word." And a lot of Americans and people all over the world sit around and go, wait. You know, there's a better way. We can reach people in a better way today. There's something else that we can do to get to people's hearts. You know, that word, that's 2,000 years old. And God said his word will do what it is supposed to do. If we don't preach the word, we're showing a lack of faith and trust in God. If we think we can create our own system to teach the world, we are saying we're smarter than God. God's word will do what he says it will do. Do you trust it? If so, then preach the word. Because it will accomplish what he says it will accomplish. Number 4 subpoint, both can be mixed, both can be perverted. Do you know your seeds can be messed up so that they don't grow? You can plant some seeds. I got some this year that I planted. They never would grow. Nothing ever came. I replanted. Nothing would grow. Something was wrong with those seeds. Because it certainly couldn't have been the guy doing the planting, you know. The fact of the matter is, you can have seeds that don't work. You can have seeds that get mixed up. You remember Matthew 13, the parable of the tares? You have wheat and you have rye in the same field. You can have a mistake and it not be good. Alfalfa Out here in the alfalfa fields, when someone plants, if they get the wrong kind of grass or wrong kind of weed that's in, it ruins the quality of that alfalfa. You can have it mixed up. Do you know what? You can mix up the Word of God too. And there are many people who do. They teach things that are not right. We're not going to go into all those details. We've been talking about it for a couple of weeks on Wednesday nights. But Galatians 1, 6 through 9, Paul said, I marvel that you've turned away from the gospel to that which is not the gospel. They had left the truth. They were chasing after a lie. And there are many today all over the world, this very day, who are in church buildings, who are teaching something that is not the gospel of Christ. Folks, we need to stick true to the Word of God. The seed will produce what God said it will produce if we will preach it. That brings us to the third major point, the soils, the dirt. And the dirt is representative of the human heart. It's talking about our hearts. And by the way, the wise man Solomon, Proverbs 4:23, he warned us about our hearts. He said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. We have to guard our hearts. If we fill our hearts full of junk, we're going to have junk in our hearts. You know, in the computer world, way back when I was in high school, I took a class, and it's still true to this day. We used to have G-I-G-O. You know what that is? Garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you put in is what you'll get out. Jesus even talked about that. Matthew 15, we talked a few weeks ago about the washing of the hands. You remember what he said a few verses later? He said, it's not what goes into you physically that defiles a man. It's what's coming out of your heart. Well, how does it get in your heart? How do all these wicked things get in your heart? Well, you're feeding on the wrong material. You're watching the wrong television, and you're watching movies and reading the wrong books and listening to the wrong music. You're hanging around with the wrong people. Evil companions corrupt good morals. 1 Corinthians 15:33, and so on. It will affect our hearts. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And so there are four soils listed here. The wayside, it's the beaten path, and it becomes hard, you know, when you walk on a path. If you go over to most people's homes and you look, you can see where the mailman comes every day, because he's going to put a little path across the yard. If you go to a place of business, you can find where the foot traffic is, because you'll see all the footprints that they leave. Even on tile floors, on concrete floors, there'll be a path and you can see it. You see, that's what's going on. And the seed is planted on this hard heart and it will not grow. Instead, the birds come and pluck it out. You have the stony ground. Now, this is where there's soil, and it looks like it's good soil, but under it are a bunch of rocks. This is a very good picture of West Texas right here. I mean, you break the soil or just blow the dust off, and there's rocks, rocks everywhere. Try to stick a shovel in the ground, you break the shovel and the handle, and then, you know, you didn't even dig a hole. This is the area that we're talking about. You plant the seeds on that, it might sprout. It might grow up a little bit, but it won't last because it can't develop a root system. The rocks are in the way. The hard heart underneath will never let it be what it ought to be. It will never develop the root system. This is a person who shows a lack of character. They're impulsive. They're erratic. They're emotional. They're superficial. These are the people that are quick to come to the church, and they're just as quick to leave the church. They don't have a root system. They have everything that they do is done out of emotion instead of conviction. It's about what's right. People that have conviction, it doesn't matter how bad the storm gets or how hot the sun gets or how little water there is. They're not leaving. They're going to stay rooted there in the church. But folks, this person is also the person who hasn't counted the cost. Jesus taught about that in several places, Matthew 16, 24 and following, Luke 9. In other places, we have to count the cost. He even talked about the man who went out to go build and the man who went out to go fight. And if they didn't count the cost, they would be destroyed and the world would know they didn't prepare. Are we prepared as Christians? Listen, this person, this soil, was wanting to hear it at first, but they have fallen away. They will not stay true. The third soil is represented by the thorns. the thorns. The person has a crowded life, if you will. They're very busy. They're preoccupied. Their focus is on the cares of the world. They care about this world. They love this world. In fact, that has both positive and negative connotation. For example, one who loves the world can be caught up with worry and anxiety and fear. If you look at everything that's gone on the last couple of years in our society and around the world, if you're a worldly person, you're going to think that it's the end of the world and there's no hope. We might as well give up. That's the kind of person that's eat up with this kind of thing. It keeps them from being fruitful. It reminds me a lot of what we see in Luke 10, verse 38 through 41. Jesus is there. Mary and Martha are there. And Jesus had to say to Martha, "Martha, Martha, one thing is needed. One, Mary's chosen the better part. Quit all your busyness. Come in here and sit down and listen to me teach." You know, there's a lot of places, even in the church, where there's men walking around all over the back, they're visiting, having a good time, sitting out in the parking lot, drinking coffee, doing all kinds of things, counting the contribution. They're not in the worship. That's that kind of busyness. There's a lot of people that are in the world. I've got this going on. I've got that going on. I got to go here. I got to go there. I got this. I'm going to work here. I'm going to work there. I'm going to do this. They never make time for the services of the Lord's church. That's this kind of person. The deceitfulness of riches has taken them. They're caught up. They're caught in the trap. Wealth, by the way, in and of itself is not bad. But the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Wealth can be deceitful, and that's what he's talking about here, the deceitfulness of riches. We think we've got it under control, but it can take us. It promises to provide everything that we want. It promises the answers of life. It promises the solutions, but in truth, it's far, far from it. Far from it. Three very quick examples. We'll not study them, but I'll reference them. The rich young ruler. He wanted to be saved. Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." He said, "Which one?" He told him what to do, and he said, "All these I've done." "All right, fine, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me." Jesus knew the problem. The man, it's been said, he was covetous of his own possessions. He loved his wealth and would not follow Jesus, Matthew 19, 16 and following. How about the rich farmer of Luke 12, verses 12 and following? "Life does not consist in the abundance of the things we possess," is the way it starts that discussion, and talks about the man who tore down his barns to build bigger barns, and then the next day his soul was required of him. Are we understanding that riches aren't going to get us there? Or how about the rich man in Luke 16, 19 and following? He fared sumptuously, the passage tells us, in this life. But then he was sent to torment, and all his wealth bought him nothing. The poor leprous, poor Lazarus was in the place of comfort. And the rich man wanted him to dip his finger, his dirty, filthy, homeless, poor, sick finger, and give him just one drop of water. All his wealth bought him nothing. Those are the people who are caught out. That's the deceitfulness of riches. The third category there in that same passage is the pleasures of life. There's a lot of people in this world who love life. The thing that hurt them over the last year and a half is not about the financial condition or the people that died or the problems throughout the world or how it affected businesses. Their problem was, I didn't get to go out and enjoy life. I didn't get to go to the movies. I couldn't go do this. I couldn't go do that. That's a very worldly, selfish mindset. They love the pleasures of life. Lusting for the things, that's part of the thorn. In fact, the Bible teaches this as well. Men are often lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. 2 Timothy 3, 4. Demas left the truth. He once was a soldier. He left the truth. Why? Because he loved this present world, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. And the truth is, love of the world is forbidden. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17 tells us that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the vainglory, or pride of life is of the world, and the world is passing away in the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God will abide forever, except too many of us chase after those lusts. Romans 12, verse 2, we're not to be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. But too many of us love the world. Those who are of this thorny soil are worldly and materialistic. I want you to also notice that the soil isn't capable of growing both for very long. A lot of people think, I can have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, and it's going to work out fine. This passage says, no, it won't. You're going to start to grow. You're going to start to be what God would have you to be. And you're going to get all caught up in the world. And the world will take over. The thorns will choke you out. And the good plant will die. You cannot coexist with 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church. We have to make a choice. If we think we can do both and have a harvest, we are sadly mistaken. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 19 and then in verse 24, no man can serve two masters. He will love one and hate the other, or love one and despise the other. And he makes it very clear. You cannot serve God and mammon. Sometimes you hear people say mammon, that's man. No, it's not. It means riches. You cannot serve God and riches. You cannot serve God and the world. The two plants will not grow and both be fertile and productive. The world will choke out the good plant. And that brings us to the fourth soil, which is the good ground. These are those who have a noble and honest and good heart. They receive the word and they're going to produce from the heart. They receive it, they believe it, and they produce. And that brings us to the fourth major section, which is success. Success. The good soil and the good seed will produce a great harvest. It's imperative that we are actively sowing the seed of the kingdom. Again, another song. We could have made this one a sermon in song, Eric, and sang about 50 songs about soul winning. But that's another one. We ought to be sowing the seed of the kingdom. It's important that we become fruitful and faithful in the sowing of seed. It's important that we understand that when we do this, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Bill Brown, elder over at Eisenhower for many, many years, a good man, Charlotte's family, very, very good man. He used to often come up and say at the end of our services, he would quote 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." Your labor is not in vain, and I cut that off, but that's what he would teach, and that's what we need to be teaching. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you do what he says, it's going to be productive. However, if our labors are about the world, we will not survive the thorn. We must plant and water and understand that it's God that gives the increase. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. We must understand, as we read a moment ago from Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, that if we will produce God's word, if we will preach God's word, it will accomplish what he wants it to accomplish. Folks, we need to just jump on board and start teaching the gospel. Are we sowing the seed of the kingdom? Folks, we need to hear the message of Jesus. We need to believe the message of Jesus. We need to be obeying the message of Jesus. And we need to be faithful and true all the way until the end. If we will do that, God has promised us that there is a home in heaven waiting for us, waiting for the faithful who will do his will. God's will accomplish what he intends it to accomplish. Will you have that faith? Will you have that trust? Will you believe in his word? And will you live according to it? Let us be a people who love God, love his word, and keep his commandments. If you need to put on Christ in baptism this morning, if you need the prayers of the church, if we can help you in your walk with God, that's what we want to do. If we can help you in any way, won't you come right now while we stand and while we sing?